lost to ignorance and confusion, three men arose from humble beginnings with a message of wisdom and hope for their troubled times. Three men who would eventually change the very face of humanity.
But they fell off a cliff. So, here are some other guys.
It's Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil.
Welcome to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. It's episode 182.
It's a lot of shows.
It's a lot of shows, broadcasting to you live on CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto and streaming to you live on the web at songtalk.ca/livestream. Song Talk Radio is the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of
songwriting.
Brand new songwriters or established professionals, and on the show we share tips, tools, and techniques, and together we all become a little bit better at writing songs. I'm your host, Neil Modi, and joining me tonight are the deserted members of the Song Talk Radio Action Team.
Oh, the deserted?
Deserted. Banana Split Bruce.
Oh. Sweet.
Froyo Phil.
I'm diabetic.
And you are now. And handling our social media onslaught tonight, Vanilla Bean Vanessa.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, she can actually talk in the mic now.
You can talk if you want.
I like that.
Yes, she does. And our newest team member, Red Velvet Raphael.
Ooh.
That one too.
Raphael's handling our tech board. It's more than just pushing buttons.
It is.
Believe it or not.
They're sliding things, too.
It's sliding things, too. During the show, join in the conversation. Send in your comments and questions and dessert recipes to Song Talk Radio on Twitter, and we'll share them in real time. Mike, we're hoping to hear from you.
Yes.
Because Mike always brings chocolate chip cookies to
the
meeting.
Yeah.
He does, anyway. And he did, too.
I like, I really like an apple crumble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, apple crumble is good. Yeah.
That's Canadian.
Please stop by our website at songtalk.ca. You won't find any dessert recipes, but you'll find out how you can be a guest on the show. Tonight, there's no guest. It's just the family.
Yay.
It's a theme show.
It's a theme show. We're going to be yodeling on about nonverbal hooks.
So,
Mani-manu.
Manamana.
I'm supposed to guess which song that's from?
Don't you remember? Manamana. Manamana.
Oh.
Oh, which song was
Manamana.
That?
I don't know. I just saw the Muppets do it.
Oh.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, that's right.
Manamana.
And my mother used to sing a song called Mares he dotes and does he dotes and little lambs he divey, a kiddly divey too, wouldn't you? Kind of nonsense song.
Yes.
It was a big hit in the 40s, apparently.
Yep. Yeah. Bing
and
Crosby.
And his sisters. Bing Crosby. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Lots of them, yeah.
So each of the hosts, Bruce, Phil, and myself, we've selected our favorite song, maybe, that has a nonverbal hook. So that includes the O's and the oohs and the ahs and the ums.
You know, and it's, yeah, and it's interesting. I've been asking a bunch of friends about this, and it's kind of interesting. Someone suggested there's like, I mean, the famous one is na 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 na, hey goodbye. And which, you know, a famous one. But someone actually said Deo, the banana boat song.
Yeah.
But Deo. I don't think that qualifies because Deo is actually a word.
Daylight come and we want to go home.
Deo, yeah. So it doesn't really, I don't think it really qualifies.
What does Deo mean?
It's like
it's
Deo.
Day.
It's like Deo, right?
It's
as opposed
Caribbean,
to a nonverbal.
Caribbean folk song.
Yeah.
Okay.
Made
so
famous by Harry Belafonte.
Jamaican version
who
of
grew up in New York City.
Yeah. So as opposed to a nonverbal, which would be, you know, doo-doo-doos or ha-ha's or woos or
yeah, that
like
doesn't,
that
in and of itself doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's just.
But it's it is a very effective tool.
Yeah. Well, how about the one you'd remember? This one: who put the bomb in the bomb? Shabomb shabomb. Who put the ram in the ram-a-lama ding dong?
Oh, yeah. Not that I'm that old, but I know a lot of
I'd like to shake his hand. He made my baby fall in love with me.
Ding dong. Yeah. Those are words.
Yeah.
And ram is a word.
Yeah.
Ram-a-longa.
But I think that's kind of I think that's sort of a nonsense word. I mean, that's kind of.
Well, the difference between nonsense and actually just.
Oh,
onomatopoeia kind of things.
Looking
for non-words.
But the bomb is not a word. It's not in the dictionary. Who put the bomb in the bomb? Shabomb, shabomb.
Is it bomb?
Because they're doing shaboom, shaboom. So there was a lot of this in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it.
And again, I don't know how strict we need to be about that kind of rule.
Well, it's an interesting question, though. I mean, it's whether or not, because a nonverbal hook, is it just something like ooh or la 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 or.
I think a lot of contemporary music has these things. It's almost de rigueur now to have one of those hooks.
Well, yeah, there's that little thing called the millennial whoop where all the young kids are doing it now, right? And every single pop song seems to have you know, a hook besides the chorus.
Can you think of one?
not a fan.
Oh, okay. I'm sure if, I'm sure our listeners in Radio Land can send us in their suggestions of which ones.
What's a contemporary hoop?
For our purposes, we're going back 40 years, 30 years, 10 years.
We're going all the way back to Lou Reed, 1972. So the first song we're going to do is...
This is called, Bruce's pick.
This is my pick. Here, Bruce here. This is... what am I? Banana Split Bruce?
Bruce here.
Banana Split Bruce?
Yeah, okay. I don't mind. I've had a banana split. It's not bad.
Yeah, great.
So the song I chose is called Walk on the Wild Side by Lou Reed. And it says Lewis Allen Reed / Lou Reed. That's probably his full name. Unless he has a brother, Lewis Allen. But I don't know. Anyway, it's from 1972... And it was a big hit, and it was actually about a transsexual girlfriend of Lou Reed's.
Initially, but it's all about the characters and that hung out around Andy Warhol's warehouse.
Okay, so there was Holly and there was Candy, and
I always thought it was the same person, but they're actually different people.
Jackie. And there's Jackie,
and
Sugar
Little
Plum
Joe.
Fairy. So there are all these people, and there's lots of reference to New York City, and this would be in the early 70s, late 60s, mm-hmm. when it was very, 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 you know, very edgy, and...
it was pretty rough.
Pretty rough, down in the village, probably.
I think the city was bankrupt at that point, wasn't it?
Well, the other thing, he's referring to Little Joe, who hustled here and hustled there. So he's talking about the underbelly, the hustlers, the prostitutes, the transsexuals, the art crowd, and... He says, which is very dated now, the color girls go. So the doot-de-doos you're going to hear is in the background, and it's the background vocals of doot-de-doo. And anyway, anybody who's ever heard this song will go, oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
And you kids who have never heard this tune, have a listen. This is Lou Reed, Walk on the Wild Side.
Holly came from Miami, FLA. Hitchhiked her way across USA. Plucked her eyebrows on the way. Shaved her legs and then he was a she. She says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. She was everybody's darling, but she never lost her head. Even when she was given head, she says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls go doot 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 doot. Gave it away. Everybody had to pay and pay. A hustle here and a hustle there. New York City is the place where they said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey Joe, take a walk on the wild side. Sugar Plum Fairy came and hit the streets, looking for soul food and a place to eat. Went to the Apollo, you should have seen him go, go, go. They said, hey sugar, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Alright. Ha. Jackie is just speeding away. Thought she was James Dean for a day. Then I guess she had to crash. Valium would have helped that patch. She said, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey, honey, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls say, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-
And that was Walking the Wild Side, Lou Reed. Oh, cool.
1972.
And, you know, we were just having a listen there and remembering that this whole crowd was Andy Warhol's crowd. There was a Joe, and there was a Holly and a Candy, and all these characters. Mm-hmm. And he was just basically, you know, filling us in on the groove, on his crowd, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And but the do-to-dos, if you notice there, if you're listening at home, how they... He set the tone of it, like he set up the rhythm of it, and then they brought the background vocals with their do-to-do, and they moved it forward in the mix as if they were coming towards you, or you were moving up towards the background vocalists.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't remember that it was just twice in the song, and that was it.
I know, you think it's more often. You know,
yeah. So, well, because that's the most memorable part of the song. I mean, the rest of the song, he's just kind of doing this speak-sing thing.
Yeah.
He's just painting the picture, showing us the montage of people, and the do-to-dos come in, that's like... That is the hook.
Yeah, well, it's a wonderful device because it kind of cleanses the palate. Because
it totally
otherwise
does, yeah.
without that, you know, he has an amazing vocal delivery. If you actually listen to the way he delivers those words,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he delivers them in a really engaging, arresting way, because that's what Lou Reed did with all his songs.
But he's got another hook, which is, "Hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side."
Yeah.
And then there's that nonverbal hook we're talking about.
Yeah.
That, I think that's what people, if you played just a little snippet for anybody who was around that time, there's that thing, they go, "Oh, yeah, walk on the wild side, man."
Yeah, it's an interesting song just because, you know, it has that sax. And it's a very minimalist song. I mean, there's not a lot, there's no bridge.
Verse.
Do the chords change? I don't think so. It's the same
chords.
Harmony.
It's just it's like 1/5.
It's almost like a track, you know.
Yeah.
And we were noticing that there was a simple bass riff with a snare, and then a little bit of guitar way in the back. And then they did a nice thing of just adding a few instruments. But that was very spare,
very sparse.
It's beautiful. There's a reason why it's lasted a lot. What I think is funny is there's a bit of controversy because. Some students down the States thought he was being kind of insensitive to trans people, but actually he actually dated a trans person for
Did
a
he?
Long time. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He was a very out bisexual, so he was kind of way ahead of the curve in a lot of ways, you know, as he was with most things.
Blue.
Yeah.
What else have we got on the hit parade here today?
Are we moving on to the next one?
Well, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, we can talk in general about do-to-do's, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, what do you guys really think it does for the song?
Well, I think it actually offers a bit of relief from the... not monotony, but it is... Without that, it would have...
It's a change,
there's a
right?
bit of a change.
Well, you said cleanse the palate. I think of that as the sorbet. When you have a gourmet meal, these five courses, they give you a sorbet between... And we've talked a lot about song structure, and what we're saying here is this is A, A, B, A, 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 B, right? And so it's verse, 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 and this refrain of do-to-do is just a B section. However, it's such a cool B section that it makes the song work. And it's the thing is, like, for you songwriters that are listening, when you choose to do something really weird like this, you can get away with not having the classic form, although this is still in a verse form, right?
It's still kind of a verse-chorus form, but the chorus isn't the traditional chorus where you're...
It's a refrain.
It's a refrain, but moreover than that, it's not... I mean, typically we say chorus is going to be like, bring your central idea together and sort of state it out. Like, you know, you could have just repeated Take a Walk on the Wild Side for his chorus. You didn't do that.
You could think of the do-to-dos as bridges, too, though, couldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
In a way.
Yeah, that's true.
Except
either way,
it goes
it's a respite from the norm, and then you go back to it. Vanessa's yes, got Vanessa. A hand up with a question.
So you don't think the nonverbal hooks are a lazy thing? Like, oh, I don't know how to wrap this up, so I'm going to put these la-las in.
I think they, you know, I think they can be. I mean,
can be, sure.
I was in a band with a guy, and I had a song because I wanted to try, you know, the nonverbal hooks, because I'll listen to songs and go, wow, that's, you know, I've never tried that that thing that band does. I'll play around with it. And, you know, so my thing was, you know, the chorus, I think, actually was, all by myself. And then I actually wanted to go, but he actually added words to it because he didn't like the nonverbal hook.
Right, because he thought it was lazy.
I think I think some people, but I've noticed it works a lot in, you know, all the classics. Like the Beatles done it. You know, it's just an interesting tool to experiment with.
Don't worry, be happy is do, 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 do.
No, that's interesting.
It's a novelty song.
No, that's a nonverbal hook, but is that something that would be otherwise played by an instrument?
You think he was pretending
to be an
instrument?
Well, I think for any nonverbal hook, you could easily substitute it for an instrument.
When you start really looking at it, it's an interesting.
But you know, but in the songwriter sense, where we're always concerned about story and about narrative and all that sort of stuff, it didn't in that context would it be considered lazy?
I haven't tried it in my songs because I think I'm going to lose the listener if I go to something like that. Like if it's not an instrument as a lead, when I was producing my album, like there'd be a piece where I thought, oh, we need a break from the song because there's too many lyrics. I would want the lead guitarist to play something or, you know, a bass fill or something. And I think it's kind of gutsy to do this rather than lazy. And, of course, it all depends on whether it's successful or not at the end of the day. Does that make sense in the song? Like, if you're writing a serious ballad, you're not going to be going do-do-do-do-do, but you might be going whoa-whoa-whoa-whoa-whoa, yeah-yeah. Or as the Beatles went, yeah, 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 but those are words. She loves you, yeah, 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 right?
Yes.
Who knew that would work? But it did. Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting. I mean, another classic song is, you know, Brown Eyed Girl. You know, because back when we used to say, sha-la-la-la-la.
Oh, yeah, those sha-la-las.
So that's, but, and that really works in that. You know, so it's something worthwhile to, I think, as a songwriter to experiment with.
Like you were saying, you wouldn't do it in a ballad. Is it generally done then in like happy, upbeat songs? Like, can you think of a? No.
Well, I don't think Brown Eyed Girl's especially happy.
No, and neither is this.
Yeah,
this is a slice of life.
So does it kind of take away from that?
I don't think so. I think
what this does is, you know, the colored girls in the background, and I think in that era. Like the Apollo was mentioned, which is the headquarters of Black American music, right?
Yeah.
The Apollo. And so I think this whole scene with Andy Warhol in the early 70s, it was the races were mixed, the sex genders were mixed. Everything was a mashup, kind of way before its time, kind of. And they were on the edge, right? And gay rights, the Stonewall was 1969. So this whole thing of gender bending was late 60s, early 70s. And he latched onto that, Lou Reed, is what he did, right? It was his thing. But it was this East Village, Manhattan, very, very avant-garde, modern art, Warhol and the gang, and Basquiat, and all these dudes, all mashing together, and all the music. But I think what the color girls sing is you'd be at a concert, and there'd be a lead singer, and there'd be three black girls there going, do. When you listen to Aretha's early stuff, you know, it said, okay, girls, and they're a powerful part of the show, right? And I think that's what he was playing with there.
Yeah. Well, how about Neil, your
tune? What did you bring?
So I brought do-do-do-do. Da da da. Uh-huh.
It's all I want to say to you.
It's all I want to say
to you. By the police.
By the police.
What year was that?
This was 1980-ish. Something like that.
Did Sting write this tune? Did
Songwriter is Gordon Sumner, otherwise known as Sting.
That's his real name, Gordon Sumner.
This is one of his tunes. I mean, the police, there were three members of the police, Andy Summers and Stuart Copeland, and all of them wrote songs, actually.
Did they?
Yeah, they all wrote songs. Sting sang all of them.
And they famously fought with the drummer, right? Everybody
fought with each other.
Oh, okay.
But I think particularly Sting and Stuart Copeland were at each other's throats quite a bit.
And apparently that was from day one. They
that
never
was from
liked
day
each
one.
Other. Yes.
But I mean, the Police was a band that they were together for like 6 years. They pumped out like five, six albums, and then they were out.
Yeah.
It was just a big blast.
It was released as a single in December of 1980.
1980, yeah.
Wow. So it's, which is, I think it's longer than that, but it's, mm-hmm. yeah, off of Zenyatta Mandata.
Yes.
This, their second single.
Second album?
Second single. I think second that's the second
off
the, one.
Well, second single off that album.
Okay. Yeah.
What hooked you about that one?
Well, when we first started talking about this show, for whatever reason, my mind went immediately to this song. And I think the reason is that, to me, I mean, we're talking about nonsensical this and nonsensical that.
Yeah.
But when I listen to this song, I always read into it a bit of subversion and a bit of, like, it's almost like it's satire. Like, he's singing do-do-do-do-da-da-da is almost like a substitute for blah-blah, because he's talking at one point about poets, priests, and politicians, words that scream for your submission. Like, he's talking about, you know, people that just sort of talk a lot but don't act, or, you know, like...
Yeah.
Like, it's just a lot of noise, like a lot of blah-blah-blah.
Well, that's what he's saying, is like, don't think me unkind. Words are hard to find. They're only checks I've left unsigned. When their eloquence escapes me, their logic ties me up and rapes me. Mm-hmm. That's heavy, man. And yeah. then, so he says, I can't keep up with all that
noise.
Noise.
To me, it just sounds like blah, blah, blah.
Blah. So I'm going to say do, 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 da, 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 da.
So I've always read into it that element of subversion.
Yeah.
So to me, it's not completely meaningless, but it's kind of, you know, clever and wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Well, and it's interesting because it's, as we'll see in some of the other songs, there is some songs that use like nonverbal hooks as a hook, where this is actually within context of the song.
Yes.
It's like, this is the sound that I want to say to you, which is a bit like, you know...
it's also the title.
The Witch Doctor song. I told the Witch Doctor, he told me what to say, and he said, ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. Ooh, ee,
oh, man, this is taking me back. See, we're all different age groups here, and these are novelty songs from the early 60s.
Yeah.
And it was a big run of Flying Purple People Eaters, and he was a one-eyed one, or Flying Purple People Eaters. You know that one, Raphael?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is probably on YouTube, right? These are the novelty songs that were huge. But back to the police.
Yes.
This is an intelligent song because he's saying, their innocence will pull me through. The innocence of da-do-da-da-da is what he's saying, right?
Yeah. To keep it simple.
Keep it simple. I'm not going to be eloquent like all these politicians and people trying to wreck your mind or rape your mind.
Yeah, talk about rhetoric and that sort of thing, right?
Right. Well, let's give it a listen.
Let's have a listen to that.
The police. Him. Sting on bass, right? Bass player.
Only chance.
Okay, that was Di-Doo-Doo-Doo-Di-Da-Da-Da by The Police, songwriter Gordon Sumner, otherwise known as Sting.
Sting!
That was from 1980.
Yeah.
So there's an instance, actually, where the nonverbal hook is actually the title, too.
That's
I think
right.
Most songs, it never shows up as a title.
No, well, because a lot of them, it would be kind of hard.
Yeah.
Well, because that Blur song, song two, which starts off with
woo-hoo. Woo-hoo, yeah.
I mean, you'd have to call it woo-hoo.
Everyone knows it as the woo-hoo song. Yeah. No one calls it song number
song two.
That really sounds like a working title.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Those were the days of album tracks. You didn't have to have a hooky title.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well, song number two was a single.
Huge.
But, it's interesting because it is. I mean, does that mean that the do-do-do-da-da-da is the central idea because it's the title?
It is, because you're saying he's replacing that innocent, meaningless gibberish as a way of saying, this makes more sense to me than what I'm listening to, but from politicians and stuff, right? And he's saying, the chaos of my mind, words are hard to find. And I like, he's saying, eloquence escapes me, and the logic all ties me up. He's like, I go back to something very simple, which is da-do-do.
Yeah, he's at the end of the chorus, they're meaningless and all that's true. So it's just that's his truth. Like, that's
well, and it's in, like, he's always got such a strong rhyme scheme. But speaking of rhyming, and here's a half timing.
Oh,
hey. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil on CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto and streamed live to you on songtalk.ca/livestream. Tonight, our theme is songs with nonverbal hooks, and our guest is us. Don't forget, we love to hear from you, so please tweet in your thoughts to us at Song Talk Radio or send us an email at feedback@songtalk.ca, and we'll share your thoughts in real time. You can be famous. And don't forget, you can always find all the links to all the products, books, and web services we mention on Song Talk Radio on our resources page at songtalk.ca/resources. And coming up on Song Talk Radio in the coming weeks, we have on August 1st, Amir Braden on with his Dancy Pop. Amir Brandon. And August 8th, country rock folk-inspired songwriter Jeff Leeson. Thank you, Jeff. He's been talking to us. Mm-hmm. And August 15th, alternative folk rock songstress
Cynthia Baba.
And if you're in the Toronto area, please join us at our next Songwriters Meetup on Wednesday, August 16th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Transact Club. It's free to join on meetup.com and free to attend the meetup. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all those details. And, of course, we got letters.
We got letters.
Lots of letters.
Oh, good.
We got lots and lots of letters.
Who did we get letters from, Phil?
Well, thanks for asking that, Neil. We got a really nice letter in from Nico. Nico R. says, hello, Bruce, Neil, and Phil. First of all, thanks very much for your very entertaining radio show, podcast. I've been listening to it regularly for quite a while now, and I'm always looking forward to the next episode. I really enjoy the guests, but I also love your dry sense of humor and how you three seem to complement each other from every point of view.
You're looking really handsome tonight. Oh, not that kind of compliment.
No, that's probably the strongest asset of the show.
Aww.
I also admire you for how supportive you are on the air. I often find myself criticizing a song instead of giving it a first chance or simply enjoying it, to then feel ashamed once you start highlighting the many positive aspects and expressing your healthy, constructive criticism. I'm writing to you because I've just finished a cover of When I Sleep, which was written and sung by one of your guests in
Daniel
one of your older episodes.
Daniel Caceres.
Spaniard guy who was here on a working holiday. He's back in Spain now, but I still have his email address.
Yes, and it's a great song. Mm-hmm. And so we'll tweet out the link of his. I was going to find out his name by searching your website and contact him directly, but I thought it would be better to send the song to you instead and ask first if you think it's something he would appreciate. And I'm pretty sure,
he loves it.
And, I'd like to hear it.
Yeah.
So yes. It's on SoundCloud. We'll tweet out and add that link to the show notes. I'm also a songwriter, although I don't usually sing my own songs, mostly because of my accent. I'm Italian and I live in Germany, so I feature two of the most identifiable foreign English accents. You can check out my other songs in the following, and if you ever contemplate featuring a songwriter over Skype, you know where to find us. Find me. Thanks very much, Nico. That's great.
Thank you to him for noticing what our show is all about, which is three guys in a room talking about songs.
Well, it's really interesting what he was saying about he feels ashamed because when he hears a song, he just wants to criticize it in a negative way.
Yeah,
but a lot of the time you gotta find the good too.
Well, and I think there's a difference between criticizing and sort of listening to it and judging it, sort of the positive and negative aspects. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of songs that are huge hits that I don't think are fantastic songs, but they entertain people, and that in and of itself is an interesting thing.
Yeah, and it's always a thing to take your own ego out of it, because, I mean, just because you hear a song and you don't like it doesn't mean it's not a good song.
Yeah.
And doesn't mean that the artist didn't achieve their objective.
Mm-hmm. And that's the real key. Did the artist achieve what they're trying to achieve?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's more important. That's how you judge whether or not art is good.
Yeah.
You know, and if and sometimes it can just not be for you, but it can still be
because good. Because really there's an audience for everything, including an Italian living in German with a British accent. You know?
That's right.
I'm sure that's going to be a hit somewhere.
That's probably true. You should do an Italian, Nico, you should do an Italian version of Di Commissar.
Di Commissar?
Don't turn around. Oh. The commissars and Falco, you know.
I can really relate to. Was it Nico?
Yeah,
Nico.
Because that was one of my favorite songs of all the shows we've done.
Oh yeah,
was When I Sleep.
Right.
Yeah.
It was such a beautiful melody, and Daniel was writing in English on purpose. His English wasn't great.
Right.
Wasn't perfect. He was a Spaniard. He spoke Spanish, so he said, "I can say things in English that I can't say in Spanish, because in Spanish I have too many options," which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, that was a really interesting point.
Yeah, that was a great point.
When I sleep, I get the peace I can't find when I'm awake.
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful melody, and that he was so upset that he wanted to go to sleep, so he'd stop thinking about this girl.
It's like the do-do-do-da-da-da. It was too much chaos in his mind, right?
Yeah.
He just wanted to simplify. And we often say that, too, with other songwriters, too, who say, you always play guitar, but in order to get all that noise out of my head, I just sit on the piano and hammer out something, and it's completely different, and it's fresh, and it's new, and it's...
By the way, how was the songwriters' meetup? I couldn't make it on Sunday.
It was packed. Everyone, the list was filled up before 1. So it was really good, and we had some great turnout, and Mike brought cookies, which is good. So
cookies. Mike.
Homemade cookies all the time.
So that was on a Sunday, so August it'll be on a Wednesday.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. And we got one more letter from Logan Daniels. Says, "Thanks for reading my last email on the air. Really made my day." And yes, Logan, we won't read the rest of your email, because then the show will eventually just be us reading your email. So, thanks, Logan, for thanking us. We like to know there's people out there.
Yeah, please send us more.
It means a lot to us. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's great stuff.
Very cool. I just want to do a quick shout out. We had a guest a few weeks ago, Laura Ryan, and she's actually holding Toronto's first, at least from her point of view, Women in Music Singer-Songwriter Showcase. So completely female empowerment thing in here. Very, very cool. That's July 30th at Say What. So
does she have?
She has her website, lauraryan.com.
Does she have who's going to be performing?
They got. She's performing. They've also got Christy Hagerman, Claire Hunter, Michelle Thibodeau, and Rosita Stone.
Rosita Stone. All right.
Great.
Cool. That's great.
I think Michelle Thibodeau is going to be a guest on our show.
Ours is Thibodeau.
Thibault?
Yeah, but that may be different.
It's Francais.
Oui. C'est vrai. And I guess I could mention that this Thursday, which is in a couple of days, we're going to have a showcase at Hughes Room, and it's $15 bucks. People can come. Mm-hmm. Rick Emmett's going to be on guitar.
Rick Emmett of Triumph.
House band, the stage band, and all the songwriters from this. I'm in a program called Song Studio this week.
With Blair Packham.
Blair Packham and Alistair Bradley and a bunch of people. Yeah. And Stephen Page ran one of my workshops, and of course Shelley Pikin from Los Angeles ran one of the workshops. And so Thursday night at Hughes Room, they bring in a house band of top-notch musicians, and all of the songwriters from the workshop, 20 of them get up and perform their song. And Phil and I went last year. It was a treat to hear these new songs, and backed by this ace band.
Like,
exceptionally good band.
Yeah.
And it was just so entertaining.
Yeah, no, it's great.
That's great.
So now you've been at this, basically it's like a summer camp for songwriters.
Yeah, in the city, though. It's the Royal Conservatory of Music. It started Saturday morning, and we have workshops in the morning where we do, much like the songwriters meetup, is we have, like, Stephen Page is at the front, and then there's 10 writers, and we go around the circle. Each writer plays their song on a usually with their guitar or keyboard. There's always like a baby grand in the room, which is nice. And then the workshop leader gives the feedback. So it's either Steve Page or Blair Packham or various other people. And then in the afternoon, a featured artist gets up on stage and is interviewed and plays just like our radio show. So they play a song and they talk and they play a song and they're recording that for a podcast later.
Oh, brilliant.
And then we also, today was chart writing with Alistair Bradley, and I had to leave, but basic charts. I know how to write chart, but basic charts. So it's a real mix of stuff.
What an amazing, amazing week. Yeah. Yeah. It's so much fun.
And you're having a great time there.
If you want to check it out for next year, songstudio.ca, and it'll be happening again next year. It's, you know, around this time, late July.
And you can check out any of Blair Packham's appearances on the show, because he's been on the show as a guest and as a co-host. He's very articulate about the songwriting process.
And I've heard him now perform live a few times.
Yeah.
He's extraordinary.
He's really good.
I had no idea how good he was.
Good.
He's amazing.
Blair.
You could tell he was on tour for a long time.
With the jitters.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing, you know.
So do we have another song?
We do. So do you want to do the Blur then?
Right. No, so the next song we're going to do is Parkdale Hookers.
Tell them what that is, Phil.
Well, that was my band that I was in for a while. It was a three-piece with Mark Jeftovic and Mark Collins. I was in a three-piece with two guys named Mark, which meant that I said things like, gee, Mark, you really got to give Mark a break, you know. and, of course, it also made an interesting challenge during rehearsal. If you're wanting to talk to someone, you can't say just Mark, because...
Didn't you make up a name for this?
Just Mark? Just go to the last name. Say Collins, say Jeff
of Mark. I called them MC and MJ.
Oh, okay, that works.
That's true.
But it was called the Parkdale Hookers.
It was called the Parkdale Hookers. And,
and you wore suits.
You wore very nice suits and played very loud and aggressive music. And this was actually one of the first songs I brought to the band. It was actually Mark J's band. And he's one of the best band leaders I was ever in, because he was just encouraged everyone to write and bring stuff in. And so this was a song that started off, I was listening to classical music, and I realized a lot of times they just wrote music on top of a chromatic descending bass line.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what it is. It's basically a chromatic descending bass line going from basically D down to G.
On the semitones?
Chromatic.
So, yeah, it's like semitone by semitone.
Not semitone by semitone. It's like by full tone.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. So it'd be like on the keys of the sticks. on the phases of the scale.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah.
So
is that in the verse or the chorus?
That's in the verse.
That's in the verse.
And that's what, and I actually started using this. I use ooze a lot, because I was very, one of my favorite songs when I was younger was XTC, We're Only Making Plans for Nigel. We're only making plans for Nigel. Oh, and I always thought that was so cool.
Right.
So this was something I did. And this was actually the first thing I came up with it's a really fun song to play. It's actually done with bar chords from the top D all the way down. And that was the first thing I came up with, was the opening nonverbal hook.
Okay. And you threw it in because you liked XTC and thought it was cool.
Yeah, and it was just something I used a lot. You know, it was fun.
Right.
And it also has another couple of things that I really like to use. It has it makes use of the stop, you know, which is something I really enjoy doing. And it's fun. And also, if you clap a certain way, it sounds like the Rolling Stones. So why don't we listen to it, and we'll talk about it.
Call me back, but I keep waiting over and over again. Stop dragging.
Stop Dragging Us Nowhere by the Parkdale Hookers on Song Talk Radio with Bruce Neil and Phil on CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto.
And the songwriters for that song were?
It was M. Collins, P. Emery, and M. Jeftovic.
Excellent.
What year was that recorded? Do you remember?
That was 2003, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's our CanCon for the evening.
That's CanCon, yes. a little point of interest there is the guitar is descending and the bass is ascending.
Yeah, because it didn't sound like a traditionally descending thing.
Yeah. Which, now listening to it, I'm always kind of wondering, gee, I wonder if I should have... I was sort of being clever on the bass there. And I always thought, you know, maybe if I did...
That's the best
descending.
Place to be clever is on the bass.
Sometimes, yeah.
Oh, you were the bass player.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. Bass, guitar, and drums.
Yeah, it was a three-piece.
Okay.
And,
How'd the other guys feel about the woo-hoo-hoos? Were they happy with the woo-hoo-hoos?
Yeah.
No one else thought, hey, Phil, that's too lazy. Let's put in some lyrics there?
No, because I think it was it's catchy. And, you know, you like live people... a couple of times when we played this, actually, people sang along with it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when
I expected
that happened,
the
really
cool. Woo-hoo-hoo right off the top of the chorus, but you only did it on the after the riff.
Yeah.
And then you brought in the woo-hoos. I was expecting it right on the top.
Did you want more woo-hoo?
I want a little more woo-hoo.
I don't know. How many more woo-hoos can there be, you know?
You can never have too many woo-hoos.
Well, when you like something, you want more of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like ice cream.
Well, when I wrote this, I wrote the chromatic thing, and I just, you know, put it to a loop and sort of playing around with it. And that's when I realized if you clap... It actually sounds like the Rolling Stones. It's
what?
Really fun.
What do you mean? Like any Rolling Stones song?
It just sort of sounds very Rolling Stonesy when you clap along with
do
it.
Do they have clapping? I know the Beatles did. It had tons of it.
Yeah. It just kind of gives them a more kind of a rock and roll-y kind of
Reminds me of Sloan. They always use a lot of clapping.
We got a tweet in from Sharon. Great to hear the Hookers on the radio.
Thank you, Sharon.
Still missed. Thank you, Sharon. So I used that nonverbal hook quite intentionally off the top.
Mm-hmm. Was it the only song in the Hookers that used it? Or?
No, we did a lot. It's a catchy thing. Lauren Taggart, one of our early guests,
and she even talked about it explicitly, like all the kids are doing it, so I got to put this in.
And she put it in, does. It is a catchy thing that people kind of you know. So it's
kind of the icing on the cake, isn't it? It's not the cake; it's a decorative thing, I suppose. Like in classical music, it would be like a little trill on the. On the piccolo or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Don, 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 don.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be this little thing that you go, but it's actually, we talk about hooks a lot, about having a hook. So if you have a hook in the chorus, you could also have a nonverbal hook somewhere.
Yeah.
And two hooks are better than one, I reckon.
Well, because one of the hooks is, you know, the stop.
Debatable,
so.
But yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to overhook it.
You don't overhook it, but... this song, it's also it's kind of falsetto, right? Like it's the highest note. It's the money note, essentially, right? Because the chorus doesn't get, the chorus is lifted, but it ain't lifted that much as the woo-hoos are.
Yeah, I mean, the chorus gets lifted by the stop at the end.
Yeah.
You know, and the talk, which goes from starts this way, been this way, ends this way.
Yeah, yeah. So. Which I kind of wondered about the Lou Reed thing, right? Because, like, okay, it was not that melodically expansive. So maybe the doo-doo-doos. You know, they work because the rest of the song is not that melodically expressive.
Well, it's a great contrast.
It's all about the contrast.
It's the only singing in the song.
It's the only singing in the song, right? So
there's no singing until the color girls come in and sing.
But I think he was able to pull that off because he was able to deliver those lines with, I think, a lot of authenticity.
Yeah, and the story he was telling, it's kind of appropriate for that kind of storytelling to kind of tell it that way.
Who else is like that? Is Tom Waits like that, or he actually try to sing, Tom?
Sometimes he talks.
Sometimes he talks, sings, I guess.
There's not that much around anymore like that, though, is there, on the contemporary music where someone's talking?
Well, I mean, except for rap.
Yeah. Oh, we can't rap.
The logical extension of that.
Yeah, which is kind of... Yeah, I mean, because I guess Lou Reed was kind of rapping, although he was more singing, you know? with the straight rap stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's not as fast as a lot of contemporary rap. Like,
no,
and it's not as rhymey.
It's not as rhymey.
No,
that's true.
Well, that was the interesting thing about the Police song is all of Sting's stuff rhymes.
Yeah,
you know, all the same way. Like, you know, that what was it, like AABB type thing?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. He probably follows a pattern most of the time.
So I'm going to put a challenge out to all our listeners out there in podcast land and live stream land and also radio land in Toronto. The next song you write, throw in a nonverbal thing and just see if it works.
No, you haven't experimented with it?
I haven't. Yeah. I'm so conservative. You know, I think, I was a lyricist first, so I think, well, I could write a lyric there. Why not?
Well, you know, and exactly. That's what I was going to ask you, Bruce, because you're always preoccupied with story.
Yeah.
You're always preoccupied with message and with lyric. Mm-hmm. So why, like, is it even, can you even find a space for that in your songwriting?
I'd have to, you know, it would
or do you have to start with it?
Maybe? It would be a stretch for me because I'd have to make it as, it doesn't come naturally for me to do that. Mm-hmm. I think when you're a musician first, when you're writing the track first, when you're writing the riff, that those kind of musical motifs come to you more easily than they do to a lyricist. Mm.
Yeah. I'm a musician first, and I would, like you were saying earlier, like I would probably throw that as a melodic instrumental bit as opposed to a vocal bit.
Mm. Right.
You know, but that's just me.
Well, I think it's also, I mean, one great thing about working with a three-piece, you know, the drummer used to look at bands like Arcade Fire and going like, what the heck are all those people doing?
Yeah, you have like 12 people in their band.
Yeah, but of course, that actually makes a lot of sense because if you have 12 people in your band and everyone brings out two people to the shows, you have a full room.
That's right. Hence why choirs, I'll let you in a little thing here. The success of choirs, and the larger the choir, the larger the concert audience is because, you know, a 60-piece choir brings at least 120 guests.
People. Oh,
you're
right.
Good. You're good to go, right?
You got to split the proceeds 60
ways.
Piece
by about your second year, even your best friends aren't coming anymore.
Or your wife.
They've done their thing, right?
yeah, that's when you know you've played enough when your significant other sort of goes, I think I'm going to stay at home tonight.
I just thought of another non-word. What do we call it? Nonverbal.
Is even though nonverbal is
Christmas
accurate,
Carol. Though. La 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 la.
That's right.
I mean, that's not a do re mi so fa li ti do, right?
No.
Of course, it's just fa la 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 la. Don me now, fa la 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 la. So I think probably, and now this is triggering folk songs because I studied folk songs in university, and I think the English folk song, for example, the old English folk song, would have fa di roll di roll fa li li la do di ro di ro di, and they'd have all these things. And the Irish and the Scottish and all those people, because folk songs were so simple, and you don't want to have too many lyrics. One thing I'm noticing in the song studio workshops is people come in and they hand you their lyric sheet, right? Because we're all going to study their lyrics together, 12 of us in the room, right? Mm-hmm. And I look at the thing and I go, oh my God, it's a novel. Like, and I know away that the professional at the front of the room is going to say, well, you've written it's a good story in prose, but this is not a song.
Yeah.
And so I think the thing to remember, well, I'll just throw this in, is economy of language. Like every second word, just cross it out. Take the that's out and the ands and the buts and all that.
Yeah, yeah. No prepositions.
And also remember it's 3 minutes and you only hear it once it's going by.
Right.
Make it easy to understand.
And half of it's repetition or a good portion of it is repetition, right?
So don't write a novel. A novel is not a song.
Yeah. Another, you know, great nonverbal hook is Proclaimers, 500 Miles.
Yeah, yeah.
Na 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 na.
Don't know that tune, but
I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 miles.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it Irish?
Well, they're Scottish, actually.
They're Scottish or British or something.
And they sing with quite a heavy brogue accent. Yeah, and it's a huge hit. But that's another one that people had mentioned.
But of course, Bruce, you talk about the folk tradition. What about the folk tradition that emerged in the 60s? Like, I don't think there's too many la-la-las and fa-la-las and that kind of
Well, that's
music,
a different kind
Do you
of
mean Dylan?
Folk.
Yeah, like Dylan and those kind of guys.
It was very wordy, wasn't it? It was like Leonard Cohen. It's like the poet as musician.
Yeah, like I couldn't see Leonard Cohen doing a do-do-do.
Right, well, I think Paul Simon didn't he? I'm trying to think. He must have.
Probably.
Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da. Feeling groovy. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And don't forget, one of the original nonverbal hooks is Hey Nonny No. Shakespeare from the 12th Twelfth Night, isn't
it? Oh, Hey Nonny would be like Hey Nonny, the language of the 15th century England, right?
Yeah. That was
I don't know. We're getting really obscure.
Yeah, it's true.
It's all prose, right?
Yeah.
It's all about music.
Ooh. Yeah, oh, then you remember, what is it? Is that Surfing Bird?
Yeah, everybody's heard about the word.
Oh, right.
The word is a bird, and the bird is a word.
That's right.
It was so weird in the 60s. What were they thinking?
What were they smoking?
I think more to the point.
That's true.
I think they missed the novelty song.
Well, yeah, and I think there's something to be said. I mean, Barbie Girl's a novelty song.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So they're still making novelty songs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like not all songs are meant to last the ages. And I think that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, you have different, some songs are works of art that are going to last, and other ones are kind of fun, and that's and they're both valid musical expressions.
Well, I think also we're missing a whole genre here, which is children's music, which often has sounds rather than words, because you're trying to teach melody to kids and you want to keep it very
I think in that context they're actually doing it with that express purpose, right? Because you're teaching them sounds and it's easy for them. But why are they doing it on mainstream radio?
I think it's hooky and it's fun, and it's easy for people to kind of sing along to, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I remember, you know? I wasn't on the show, but I listened to it when Emily McLeod, what was her name? She was on the show and Carmen Toth was co-hosting. She was subbing for me.
Emily Mack,
right.
And Carmen said something about like her uncle's or grandfather's advice or something like that. It was like, you know, you have to write songs for the drunk person who can always remember what the words were.
Yeah.
So if you just throw in a la 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 hook, then hey.
If you're writing for bars, definitely.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, of course, then Hey Jude.
Hey Jude. Na, na, na.
Hey. Or Obladi, Oblada.
Obladi, Oblada,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Right. There's another one where it's in the title.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
right. Yeah. Yeah. So definitely a very useful, you know, so definitely, you know, in fact, why don't you guys out there write some songs and with some nonverbal and send them in and we'll talk about them.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear what you guys do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the challenge.
When you start listening to it, thinking of them, there's actually lots of
them.
Just
the ones you guys are mentioning, I was like, I never even, I mean, XTC, I'm not a big fan of XTC, but like, yeah, now you mention it, but it never occurred to me that had a little bit of a thing in there.
Now that you
mention it, all I can think about is songs that, whereas before when you first, we were talking about that as the theme, I thought, oh, I can't even think of one. But now all I think of is, wait, that's one. That's another one.
Can you think of one?
They'll start
coming to you. And the funny thing is, when you bring attention to a certain part of the world, you'll go out for the next 2 days. That's all you'll hear on the radio.
Exactly.
A couple weeks ago,
when we talked about pre-courses, all you could hear everywhere were pre-courses.
That's true.
It's like when you buy a new car and then you see that car everywhere because suddenly you're aware of that car.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think we're just about wrapping up.
Yeah, that's about all the time we have. So thank you to all the non-verbal hooks for being on the show tonight.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you to our tweeting audience.
Thank you, Sharon.
Sharon, Lois and Bram.
Yes, and thank you for the letters.
Yeah, thank you for the letters.
Yeah, keep sending them.
Yeah, please send your impressions via Twitter at Song Talk Radio. Email feedback@songtalk.ca. Follow us on Facebook and YouTube at Song Talk Radio. Stop by the site, songtalk.ca. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. And don't forget to sign up for a free newsletter on the website. You can find all the products, books, and web services we mentioned on the show on our resources page, songtalk.ca/resources. And if you're in the Toronto area, please join us for our next Songwriters Meetup. It's Wednesday, August the 16th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Transat Club. Free to join on Meetup and free to attend the roundtable. It's great fun. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all the details. We'd like to thank CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto for putting up with us. The station's technical officer, Michael Newton, and program director, Alyssa Matthews. Thank you, guys. We'd like to thank Vanessa Vreeland for so deftly handling
our
social media channels. And thanks to Raphael for taking on the tech board.
Yay.
And most of all, we'd like to thank you, the home listener. If you're on Twitter, you can follow Phil.
At the Phil Emery.
Follow Bruce.
Bruce Harrett.
Follow Vanessa.
Sunny_Vanessa.
Raphael, are you on Twitter?
No, he's not.
Raphael's not on Twitter.
Don't
you can follow
Raphael.
Don't follow Raphael. He gets nervous. You can follow myself, Neil, at neilmodi_.com. Please stop by the website, songtalk.ca. Browse past shows. We've got 182 of them now. Find out how you can be a guest on the show. That's all, folks. Tune in next week. Same song time, same song channel.
Good night.
And keep on writing.
Good night, everyone.